God's good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 85, if you would. I think I gave you a little homework last week to make sure you read up a little bit. Psalm 85. Find that in your scripture. And thank you, worship team. Coming in early and staying after. It's a real blessing to me. Psalm 85. I'm going to finish up this message I started last week. That for this year, we need to reach, we need to rescue, and we need to revive. Say amen. Last week I mentioned, or the week before, I mentioned that we need to cleanse, mend, and defend in this faith. But today I want to focus in on revive. How many knows that revival doesn't have to be all the people outside being saved? It can be in me. That I'm in a revival. That when I'm in a revival, then that can spread to others. Like any fire that isn't contained, how many knows it can spread? Now, we know the destructive force of it, but if it's contained and done right, how many knows it can bring purity? It can bring cleansing to the land. In fact, the matter is, a fire in some areas burning off grass, sometimes it does some things to the vegetation. It actually grows back even better. But we know the destructive side, that it's too much and it burns it all the way through, there's nothing left. When it comes to revival fire, how many knows God burns away what we don't need? Are you understanding that? Do you believe in heaven you're going to be radically serving the Lord? Yes or no? How many knows if the Lord asks you to do something, you jump up and do it? You do it to all your might. Or what's the difference between now and there? Why does it have to be, well, when I get there, I'm going to be just like that? No, we can be like that now. The problem I have right now is I got to bring my flesh under subjection. It's an enemy of the cross. Do you know in my flesh dwells no good thing? How many of us, I need to crucify that area. So when it comes to revival, in Psalm 85, verse 6, it says, "Wilt you not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice?" For revival, we must confess our need for a revival, number one. I said we need to confess our need for a revival. How many of us, we have a need today? I share with the first service, you know what? There's a lot of carnality in the church. We need to be about our Father's business. Now, who in here has ever fished before? Okay. How many ever like cast it out there? You've used a worm or a lure or whatever else? How many of you are looking to catch something, true? Everyone who fishes has an expectation you want to catch something. Agreed? What did Jesus say about the church? I'll make you fishers of what? Shouldn't we, the goal of the church is to catch people? It isn't just in a collective group together, oh, we're all on our way to heaven. Ain't this glorious? The church needs to be about its Father's business. And his Father's business is people. Jesus said, listen, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth what? Laborers. Well, we have to have, and we need to confess, hey, I'm in a revival, you guys. I'm in one. I'm looking for it to spread out in the world. Every revival starts with two or three people that are seeking after God. How many of us, there's more there here this morning? Now, I know the weather effects. I know some people have a hard time getting out. I understand all that. I'm talking about, you know, what's in your heart today. I want to be as passionate now as I know I'm going to be when I get there. I want to have souls on my heart now as I know one day I'll see the fullness there. Can you see the Father? Has Jesus, does he still care about souls today? Does he still care about them? Does he still look out and say, Father, there's still room in the house? Why do you think we have the Holy Spirit? I know it makes us holy, but it also enables us to do what God called us to do. To reach this world, we need God in our life. And we need God to work in us and through us. But we need to have a confession of revival going on in our hearts. Tomorrow, you got to get up and say, you know what? God, you're awesome. Lord, I thank you. I leak overnight, but I'm going to get refilled in the morning. Amen. I got revival upon my lips. Every revival I've ever read about, people are always continuing to reach the lost. They're on their heart. They're looking underneath the needs of mankind. How many want that? You know, if you have one pole in the water, what happens if you add another one? How many of those your chances increase? Yes or no? How many of those sooner or later, if you could get a net on one side and a net on the other, how many of those you could gather more fish in? I want our church to be able to get to that place where we have a net on one side of the creek and on the other side, and we have so many fish we have to call for more help. Are there that many people on the planet that need Jesus? There are. Truth is that we sometimes find them in a place of a hard ground, and maybe we'll witness and get turned off, or they'll turn us off. But I've learned this, that no matter where they're at, my job is not to determine the heart or the response. It's to share the message. God, you do the rest. I really want you to do this when you get up in the morning. Father, today, Lord, I know there's people that need to know you. I pray, Lord, you'll guide that conversation. Bring it to pass. And Lord, when it does, I'll share my faith. Go about your normal day. When you feel that little tug on your heart that you should speak, that's probably the Holy Ghost. Because the devil's not going to prompt you to witness. And speak a word in love. Sometimes we get all worked up on what we're going to say. Share what God's done to you. I do this. I'm honest with people. I say this. You know what? Listen, I was praying this morning, and the Lord laid on my heart to share my faith, and the Lord wants me to share with you. I'm straight up with people like that. Sometimes it just blows them away, like, what? And I've had responses like this. My mom told me today somebody was going to tell me about Jesus. How many of us, it just reinforces it? God wants you to be there. But listen, if I'm carnal, I'm not even thinking about revival. How many of you need to start coming out of my mouth? I am revived. I stir myself up in the shower. I do. Father, I thank you today. I get to serve you. I thank you today, God, that you're a mighty king. I don't have to go to church. I get to go. And by the time I'm done, I got that spoon of the Holy Ghost in there. I'm ready to go. Amen? I don't want to be lumpy and chunky. But I want to be liquefied and ready to pour out. Say amen. How many of you have ever blended some stuff up before? I remember one time the blender quit about halfway through the cycle. It just quit. The gear just came apart. And whatever was in there never got fully chopped up or liquefied. And I remember pouring it into a cup and it went bloop, bloop. And it looked awful. How many of those, when we're half-baked, we taste pretty bad? Say amen. You don't need to taste and see if my flesh is good. You need to taste and see the Lord is good. But no, when you get that whipped right and the ingredients are all together, believe me, it's a good taste. People need to know. How many of those that you've been satisfied with Christ? I'll share this with you like I shared the first service. You can have all the money you have, all the sin you have, it's never complete. It's never satisfying. It's fun for a season, then you pay a terrible price. But it's never complete. Even if you have a mass of stuff, it's like there's always a missing ingredient. That's where Christ fills. Taste and see that I'll satisfy your longing soul. That is so true. Listen, the Holy Spirit can drop in your heart when you're sharing with people, even where they're at. Come on. I mean, he's got to give you a word of knowledge in this situation. He wants them saved worse than we do. But if we're not prepared, are we ready? Are we confessing even to the outside world? God is moving. I want this church to grow. You know how I want it to grow? We invite people to come. How many will put your pole in the water and say, you know what? I'm going to invite. They may say no. I'm going to keep inviting. I mean, sometimes you got to keep that pole in the water and be conscious about it. Oh, say amen. In most churches, they lack spiritual power or they're just plain carnal. Listen, we can't be carnal Christians. I shared with the first service. Carnality is like this. The water's about ankle deep in the church. You got about that much Holy Ghost in there. You can tramp around. You can walk against the current. You can kick on it. You can do whatever you want. Oh, this is fun. Jesus, you're awesome. And then live your own carnal way. But you start getting more conviction in the church and the water starts to rise. You start to get more serious and it gets about waist deep and now the current's got a little against you. It starts to give you a little more resistance to your flesh. Say amen. But then you get serious about your God, all of a sudden you're shoulder deep. And now, if you're going to fight against the Spirit, it's kind of hard. You more say, I'm going to float with God. I'm going to go with God. How many knows we need that? Then soon it becomes over your head and you're swimming in the Spirit. How many knows from there he can guide you down the rapids where you need to go? I don't want a church that's ankle deep in the Holy Ghost. I want a church that's over your head full. Come on. How many knows it matters what we do? How many want to have that area? I want to go where God's going, not resist his grace. Oh, that's good stuff. In Psalm 85, verses 1 through 13, I mentioned last week to read on that. 6 times the Lord showed his power to restore or prove his power. Many of you know this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, what? That are called by my, will humble them and seek my, then I'll hear from heaven and. How many knows that's a promise? Like Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I'll answer and show you great and mighty things, things that you don't even know. Then Lighthouse, we're calling on our God. Lord, bring revival to the land like it's in me. Come on. Then Lord, let me get out of being carnal. Let me start walking in your power. Say amen. Amen. Number 2, for revival, we must be convinced it's totally possible. Are you convinced it's possible? I am convinced it's possible. I share with the first service, I'm not going to live my life in just a church existence. Spend all our time going to church, add 30, 40, 50, 60 years and never see God do anything. Oh, it's kind of quiet in here. I want to see God move in the land of the living. Say amen. I read revivals where it changed society. Bars closed. People got saved. This shut down. All of a sudden, schedules changed because people were in the house of God. People were waiting to get in because the doors weren't open yet and locked, but they stood in line and didn't care. A lot of people wait in line for a movie or a new video game. When's the last time somebody waited in line to meet Jesus? Well, that's good preaching. How many want to see something like that? That God moves over a whole town and city and gets saved. Can God do it? All it takes is a few people who say, God, here am I, send me. And be serious about it. A carnal church will never receive what God has. They'll kick around in fun. They'll enjoy the Spirit, but they'll never be moved by it. Hallelujah. The best you'll get is a splash and that's it. I want more than that. I said, I want more than that. I want to see our families get saved. Hallelujah. I want to see scores of people. I want to see God come down in a grocery store and nobody can move because he saved the store. Come on. Can God do it? He can do it. If you look at the multiplication factor after the upper room, it's incredible. We're not talking about tens or twenties. We're talking them by the thousands they got saved. One time, 3,000 at once. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal. Then God's still the same. Then mustard of the church has missed the passion. They came from the power of the upper room to now taking it to the streets. We also need to do that. Too many times we can legislate it to a class and never go out and share our faith. Now, I'm not saying learning how to witness isn't important. But if it doesn't go past even the primary thing, we're missing it. How many of us, we need to share our faith. What you've learned, now apply. Say amen. Say God's good. Number 3, for revival, we must recognize the source of that revival. It's God. How many of us, sometimes we can be cute in our marketing. We can do a demographic area. But all we've done is rearrange more flesh. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't reach the people where they're at. But too often the church becomes so sophisticated, it forgets the power of the Holy Spirit. When you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in a church, as soon as persecution comes, that congregation is going to split. Because it's not built on truth. Say amen. In Psalm 62, verse 11, God has spoken twice. Yes, he's heard this. The power belongs unto God. In Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul waits only on God. From him my expectation is from. Then, Lord, I'm going to recognize you as my source. Then, God, give Lighthouse the power to witness. I'm going to ask you to start putting a pole in the water and catching men and women. Will you do it? About your normal day, starting on Monday, look, who can I invite out? Invite. They may turn you down flat. That's okay. You invited. Amen? Keep inviting. Keep throwing that out there. Keep inviting. I mean, it was the Lord. Sooner or later, it'll catch. But I know for a fact, Jesus one day, if they totally reject it, hey, let's make it the white throne judgment. Scott invited you to service, and here's what you said. In fact, Scott invited you several times, and here's what you said. How many of those that'll count in eternity? Every time you reach out, you make this world accountable for Jesus Christ. I pray they soften and respond. But there's nothing better than a personal invitation. Amen? When you get invited to a wedding and you know the couple, sometimes it comes by mail because maybe they are not able to come to your home. But how many knows most weddings to go to a reception is by invitation? True? How many knows the invitation becomes important? Didn't Jesus say, come? He's invited the world. And now he's making it personal by you going and telling them. Hallelujah. How many of us, that becomes incredibly, incredibly important. And when he comes into his house and he looks and he says, Father, here they are. And he says, there's still room, my son. Then send them into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. For the Jews, he said, I invited them and they turned me down. Then go after those that are non-Jews. Fill my house. God's still looking to fill his house today. Amen? Could you imagine if every Christian tomorrow witnessed to one person in our area? Instantly, it'd make an impact like never before. But Jesus is the best kept secret. Why? It's because we're not thinking about those things. We need to have it on our hearts. Amen? Now, I'm not much of a real fisherman. I'm not. I'll admit it. My idea of camping is a 5-star hotel. And I'll come and see you out there in the world, in the wilderness. And when I'm done, I'm going to go back to my domain. Amen? I'll enjoy the day. I don't like mosquitoes. Some don't have a problem with it. Amen? But I'll sit by a campfire with you. I'll roast some hot dogs. I can do that. That's cool. But what about fishing? Lord, let me become fisher of men. Teach me how. And I know this for a fact. If I'm in the boat and there's an experienced fisherman and he's not so concerned about catching his own but helping me, he'll get me set up too. Because he wants me to be successful. I know he's going to be. Help me to be that. And you know what? A true fisherman will take great joy in seeing somebody else catch a nice fish. I will too. I'll take great joy in it. Listen to me. You lead 100 to Christ? Praise the Lord. I don't have an ego problem. Are you hearing me? I'm not that pastor that's got to do everything. I want to just be part of it. I'll do my portion. Oh, come on. Are you enjoying this morning? Number 4, for revival. We must employ the means of securing revival. What that means is there needs to be secret prayer going on and corporate prayer going on. We must do what we have to do to see it happen. In Psalm 85, verse 6, will you not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice? Psalm 86, verse 1, bow your ear down, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. When we humble ourselves and ask the Lord, he'll give us what we're asking. If we're asking for souls, guess what he's going to give us? Souls. Too many are asking for this and this and this just to consume it on the lust of their flesh. Ask for true spiritual things. and God will give you everything else. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then I add the things that the people are running after. I'll add them to you. It matters what we do as a church. Souls are important to God. And I've learned this. If you take your seed and you begin to scatter it, it begins to come back. And it's possible in a lifetime that on every wave that comes back will bring a harvest of... I mean, that's pretty good. I've seen a lot of waves come in. I don't want barren waves to come in. Amen? But I've learned this, that when the seed goes out, it scatters a long ways. Sometimes I don't even see it in operation. I only see it when it returns. For some of you, this is a word for it. Some of you have been praying for families to return. Keep praying, because he's going to soften those hearts. And don't be surprised if you see him darkening the door. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of us are scattering those things? Why there's so much spiritual opposition right now isn't because the devil has more power. You want to know why? The church is carnal and weak. We're not coming against the strongholds as we should. Not busting through. So those who are feel the weight of that. They shouldn't feel an overwhelming weight. That means somebody is not doing their job. And some got to carry that weight. Carry it and shoulder it until more partner in. When it comes to spiritual battles, you know what? Most people don't have a clue what that means. They don't have a clue what the enemy's like. They still think he has a pitchfork running around in some red pajamas. Do you know he appears as an angel of light to deceive the very elect? He comes to lie and scheme. In fact, his lies are so cunning. Unless you know the Holy Ghost, you can believe a lie. He'll even quote scripture perverted to get people to turn away. He did it to Jesus. He quoted scripture, says, you know what? It says that angel will give charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Just jump off from the top of the building down. It was scriptural, but he was tempting the Lord God. God didn't tell him to do that. Here's the next thing. Don't get your instructions from the devil, especially about the Word of God. Make sure it comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen? Even if it sounds good, make sure you check it in the Word. That's good preaching, amen? Well, how are you going to know it? You spend time in it. Just rehearse it in your heart. You got a spirit in there. Souls need to be a part of Lighthouse in a normal way. Kind of quiet today. Are you just listening or are you agreeing? How much we need that? Lord, it's not hard for any one of us. Lord, help me. Amen? And encourage others. If you're good at that, I know Greg and I were doing some street. I'd look, where's Greg at? My side didn't have anybody to talk to. Where's Greg at? Greg's over there next to some guy by the garage talking, looking at his whatever and witnessing to him. Amen? I said, well, that's cool. I'll just circle back around and go up and see Greg. Greg's witnessing to this guy. I mean, listen. Two can strengthen one another. Pity the man who has one and falls, but two have numbers. So you can look at that. Get somebody to agree with you in prayer. Amen? Agree with my family, touch that area. I mean, there's power there. And if you're out about and there's two of you, then tag team share. One stumbles a little bit, the other one can interject a little bit. I mean, Jesus sent them out by two. Didn't he? He sent them out two by two. And if you really think about it, Jesus sent out people that still weren't filled with the Holy Ghost like we were, are now. How much more after they got filled with the Spirit were they a powerful witness? He already gave them power over all the works of the enemy, heal the sick, raise the dead. How many think when God speaks a word over you, it will come to pass? Hallelujah. Then he's able to speak a word over you and empower you. Just like I shared about the building fund. I'm serious about this. The Lord dropped a word in my spirit. He said this, if my people, this is concerning us, will be obedient to what I speak, the building will be paid for. Then just be obedient. Have him give that impression in your heart what you should do and then follow through with that. Would you do that for me? Come on, it's not hard for anyone. It's not even going to stretch if you think about it. It may stretch your faith a little bit. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that, but he's able to do that. I said he's able to do that. I have some missionary friends, and they were ministering in some parts of Africa and some remote places. And the pastor that I know spoke a message on that God's able to bring even blessing and prosperity here. Well, a group of these ladies thought, you know what, they were so poor, 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 unbelievably poor. But what they did is God dropped a word in one of the ladies' heart. You know what? I'm good at sewing. She started talking to the other ladies, and they're all from an impoverished area. I can do this. I can do this. They got about 7 or 8 ladies and a few men together, and they started to make baskets, started to make clothes, started to make shoes, all sandals, and weave them together. Then they found another guy, said, you know what? I have a vehicle. I can drive these into the next town. God prospered that little village and got them out of poverty into blessing by gathering together and working together, each one using their gifts. It was like a miracle of God. How many knows he'll bless the work of your hands? How many knows God can do it? The word works anywhere with any people group. We're just so comfortable today in our own natural that we trust in more of the flesh than we do the spirit. I'm not walking ankle deep in the Holy Ghost. I want to swim in it, that I have to go with the current, not fight against it. Woe unto the church that there's not enough conviction to even turn somebody around. Okay, I'll be nice. Amen. What number am I on? For revival, we must become the conduit which God can flow through, to flow through us. In John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Then, Lord, let me be the person where the living water can flow out. That means if it's dry, it gets nourished. If it's barren, it can change the land. If the conversation's dry, you know what? Everything that is needed can come from that water of life. Amen? I've been in the desert before, I have. And see it be barren, nothing out there, have a rainstorm come, and in the next week, all of a sudden, it looked like a lush garden. All the seeds that had been dropped from birds and you name it, from trees blown in, were dormant until the water hit it. The problem is that it's not enough water to sustain it. But I will never forget this, looking out in this field, nothing but just barren tumbleweeds and nothing. Be there for 2 weeks and then look after a rainstorm. It was lush out there. It wasn't huge, but everything that needed life came alive. I mean, we're going to be those watering people. They're dead. Listen to me, you're going to give some water to them and something's going to spring out. Sometimes conviction vents itself in anger. It does. Sometimes your family will rise up against you because there's something working in there. They don't quite understand. So we vent it in frustration. Keep being that witness in peace. Some of us were hard-headed and resisted the grace of God for a while too. Amen? And look at you now. How many want to be sensitive? I want to be head deep in the flow. But I also want to be that where it can flow out. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, opens prison doors, set the captives free. How many remember that song? I got a river of life, old AG song, I think. The truth is that I got a river of life. And I used to work with some young people, and one said this, yeah, but pastor, it seems like everyone's just a drip. I got a river of life, drip, drip, drip now. Lord, let it flow. Amen. If there's a blockage, I'll get to that in a minute. Lord, remove it. Let it flow. You're going to pray for me, then man, let it flow. People need it, don't they? They're already dry. They're already barren. You're the fruitful one. You are. Jesus said, I'll make you fruitful. When it comes to people, too much of his power is ended on so much self. When he says, I want your power in you to make you a fisher of men. And then as you scatter that seed, everything you need is going to be there. Listen to me. Your increase will come in the harvest. And Lord, let me be about my Father's business. I want our church to focus on souls this year. Amen? I can't do it unless I am it. Then I am in a revival. Amen? I'm like you. I invite people to service all the time. Sometimes people avoid me. It's so convenient to avoid people today. Do you know that? Deal with it later. You know what? With all the technology, I've never seen more missed calls than today. Remember when you couldn't tell who it was on the other line? And all of a sudden we got caller ID. How many remember call waiting? That was the greatest thing ever. Now you can have two conversations. Hold on. It'd click into phone. Bah, bah. But you didn't know who was there. So you had to answer it. Now what do? We look at it. Instead of reaching for his hand first, we reach for that first. Oh, God, I hate this church. Oh, pastor kicks over every rock. I mean, Lord, we need it. I need to have my conversation first to him, not some electronic device. Amen? That's not bringing me the world. The true world is the spiritual world. I live in a carnality world here. It's done first in the spirit, then in the natural. Amen? That's why no one will please Jesus in the flesh. You can't do it. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit in their life. Now, he enjoys you, but how many knows that it's the spirit nature? Oh. When sin entered the world, we all became carnal. Adam proved it. He became body conscious after the fall. Who said you were naked? Jesus said. Amen? Then he started the first blame game. And guess who he blamed first? The one who was closest to him. Isn't it amazing how sin can turn you? He didn't blame his wife before sin. Now it's her fault. It's your fault. Okay? Then why'd you let some snake talk to your old lady then? I mean it in a good way. Say amen. I mean, he should have said, you're not talking to my wife here. Go. Amen. He's got a lot to it. Hey, you're just as guilty, Adam. In fact, probably more, I think. But I know the curse came because she listened. Amen. And it was pretty serious stuff. But they both sinned. Say amen. They both sinned. At that moment, that nature is now permanent. Oh. And it's passed on to every man, woman, and child. Everyone who's born has that nature in them. So we're all started off on a negative balance until we get Christ in our life. We get the new nature. I want to live by that new nature. I want to live by that new nature. The revival's not going to come because people say this, oh, it'd be a great idea. Let's have a revival. Let's schedule it in. From Monday to Thursday, on the 15th to the 19th, amen. That doesn't bring revival. Now, you can get one out of it, but that doesn't bring it. Revival means I'm revived today, and I'm going to be revived tomorrow and then the next day. Hallelujah. Until the whole world catches fire. Amen. Is this good or no? I mean, we can't blame other people for why the way we are. Amen? And then the woman blames the enemy, which it was him too. It just goes from one to another, to another, to another, to another. And here's what's heartbreaking. That in the first generation, Cain murders his brother. That brother-killing spirit was born out of sin. And God asked, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? His blood cries out for me from the wilderness. What have you done? It's amazing how quick in one generation how sin affects, let alone several thousand generations. It's amazing any of us are even in this room. I'm serious. Of all the years of sinning of every generation, it's just amazing we're here. Can you imagine what the gene pool must have been like back then? Say amen. they lived several hundred years. God never designed our body for sin, but yet death came by sin. Ah, we'll get on that road later. Number six, for revival, we must remove every obstacle. Every obstacle needs to be removed. We need to be right with him. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they agree? Listen, in your own personal life, I share with the first service, I want you to do a personal inspection. Here's your house, right here. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, remove it. And then your physical dwelling where you're at, remove every obstacle. If we want God to flow through us, then we got to take away those things that dam up the pipe. Amen? Sometimes you just need a Roto-Rooter to clean it out. Sometimes a good plunge in your life needs to be done. I know that doesn't sound happy or fun, but sometimes we need to clean it up. We can't ask God to move and we're still living in sin. Be quick to repent. Say, God, forgive me of this. It's time to clean the house up. Jesus said this, you polish the cup, you look great with that, but inside you're ravaging wolves. Clean the inside, then the outside will be clean. For it's not what goes in the man that defiles it, what comes out of him. Jesus always had the same problem. Same problem today. We have a carnal church that's religious trying to do a spiritual thing that God said to do. It's not going to happen. It's going to take men and women that seek after God to see it done. And that's not going to come from the mass either. It's going to come from a minority group saying, we're all out for God. I want that to be Lighthouse. I want it to be our church that we just reach the world. Not that we're any better, but it'll spark a revival in some other church. It'll spark a revival in other people. Somebody has to lead the way. That's good preaching. How many in here have some areas that you know the Lord needs to work on? Let me see your hand. Can you give that over to the Lord this year? He's gentle with you. The first three books of Revelation, here's how he deals with the churches. He tells you, listen, you're doing this right. That's good. Here's what you need to work on. Because if we only dealt with what we need to work on, many of us would get discouraged. Well, he knows as a good shepherd how to minister to the sheep. So he says, listen to me, you're getting this down. That's good. Now work on this. The only time he rebukes you is when you're stubborn and stiff-necked. He'll love you enough to pull out your slack. How many knows the Lord can do that too? But he chooses to guide you with his heart and his eyes. Now, I like to call it the love look, all right? When couples are together and they've been around for a while, they got that love look, like, they don't have to say a word, like, you know what they're thinking. Then you get this look. How many knows that can be the same without words? And then it's like, you know something's going on. True? How many knows just your expressions, you can figure out what's going on? How many want the Lord to be able to guide you with his eyes? Because you're such in love with him, amen? You know what he wants. You know what his heart's desire is. That's maturity. That when he speaks, he'll speak softly to you and you will understand and say yes and amen. He's about revival. Do you know that? Jesus is in a revival. He is happy about souls. In fact, the matter is, one of the glimpses I have from heaven dealt in that arena alone. That when a person got saved, it was like a broadcast over heaven. Another soul. And it's like the angels reverberated the joy of the Father's heart. What a cool experience that was. That means every soul, they rejoice in heaven over. One has went from dark. How many think that's pretty awesome? Well, if you think about it, in the world, there's a continual people getting saved. So there's a continual cheer going on there. There needs to be more, but in heaven there's a cheer. Here's the next thing. The Jesus that I know is a preacher. And he talks like this. I'm going after your fathers. I'm going after your mothers. I'm going after your children, and I'm bringing them here with me. No man spoke like him. He didn't speak in religious tones. He spoke the truth in love, but he spoke not as a man. He spoke with authority. He still speaks with authority. He is not a wimp in heaven. He isn't barely making it. He is a man's man. He's strong and mighty, yet he's gentle and caring. He has so much love that exudes from him. You can do nothing but melt in his presence. But you can feel his strong hand as he lifts you up. Hallelujah. He's carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders and become victorious. Hallelujah. When he wears King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it is a small description of how he really is, but it's still a true one. Say amen. How many knows we're on the winning side? I've read the back of this. We win. Out of every tribe, kindred, and nations, I've read it, we win. I like to know the end of the score. That way I can enjoy the game. Amen? I get emotional when I watch games like that because I want my team to win. And I'm bummed when they lose. That's why when I watch the Lions and we're up by 27 points in the fourth quarter, I know we're going to win. This is the week. And when we lose at the end, I'm like, how can we blow that? A lot of people are banking on the enemy to pull them through. You're going to lose, even if you think you're winning. How many of us we win? That means somebody in some people group is actually going to do what God wants to do. I want to be those people. I want to hear on Lighthouse, well done, good and faithful servants. How many want to hear those words? Then they're going to be well done, good and faithful. He's not going to lie to anyone. Then let's be that church. How many will reach out? Amen? Leads me to number 7 to close this here. For revival, we must enjoy the results. Come on, along this journey, enjoy the journey. Thank him. Enjoy the fruits of it. I rejoiced when we reached over 10,000 homes this summer. Not that that's the end of it, but like, you know what, Lord, thank you for an opportunity. I was happy. 40 of us got a chance to go on the streets and share. I share that with some of my other pastor buddies. Their churches are 5 times this size. They tell me this to my face. We can't even get 10 people to go out and witness. I'm like, dude, we got 40 people go out and share their faith. We cover 10,000. He goes, blows them away. How can that be? How can that be? Because the people are dedicated. They have a mission in mind, and they love people to reach out to. In this, we need to enjoy the journey. Amen? Enjoy it. Be happy with it. Listen, if you bring somebody to church, make sure you greet that person that somebody brought. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. Come on, enjoy that area. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, and I'll close with this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. For revival, enjoy the results of the revival. Hallelujah. Then I do this. Father, I thank you for the souls being saved. I thank you that our families are coming home in Jesus' name. I thank you that the backslider is going to return. And he has that on my heart. It's a continual thing. Keep praying for people that are away from the Lord. Last week, I had 2 phone calls from people I haven't heard from in years. You know what they said to me? Are you guys still on Newburgh Road? Yes, we are. Hey, do you still have a men's group and a women's group? Yep, they still meet on these nights. You know what? I'm coming back. Say amen. How many of us, God's working on it, and I just go, Lord, you're so cool. Lord, you don't give up on anyone. Don't give up on people in prayer. Keep praying for them. Keep seeking God. Probably the more they resist you, the more that God's working on their hearts. The more he's convicting them. Keep going. Keep loving them. Do this, Lord. Let me not speak too much, but just enough. I don't want to gag them with the salt, but season the conversation. And God will give you the results. Believe me, he will. He's such into hearts. You know what? God is so happy for souls. He's so into it. He is so happy when people come to know him. There's like an internal party for him alone. And all know in heaven. If you were in heaven standing next to Jesus, and you heard somebody got saved, and you saw his expression, you would be overwhelmed with joy yourself. You'd also look and say, you know what, Father, I want to do what you want me to do because I know souls make you happy. It makes him happy. It does. He is so pleased when people come to know him. That means the church is finally doing what it's supposed to do. If we're knee deep, listen to me, we have little resistance. We get waist deep, we have a little more. We get shoulder deep, we're starting to be controlled. Amen? I'm starting to do what he wants to do. No longer splash into things of God. Start to make a difference. Get serious about your faith and serious about your conviction. No, this is not easy. And most people don't like to hear this type of preaching. But it's what we need today. The church is not doing a good job reaching the lost. It's not doing a good job at all. He's the best kept secret. It's time to share what you believe. Amen. I want to be a church like that. I too will cast my net out. I too will pull a boat in the water. Amen. Nope, didn't catch it, but I'm still out there fishing. He said he'll make me what? Fishers of men. What would happen? I'll just pick a city. Name me a city. Canton? What? Indianapolis. What if all of Indianapolis came to know Christ tomorrow? Who would take care of them? What if the whole state of Indianapolis got saved? Who would take care of them? Honestly, I think sometimes we think too small in what God can do. He can take a few loaves and fishes and feed 5,000 people and not even break a sweat. My power is able to save to the uttermost. I'll prove it to you. You got saved. Everybody else is easy. If God can save you, everyone else is easy. Then have that in your witness. Man, God reached me. You're easy to reach. Hallelujah. And don't fear either. Come against fear. Fear as torment. Believe me, if you're not fearful sometimes, what are you stepping out in? You need God's power. It's not a natural thing. But you're filled with the Spirit. You can overcome that. Amen? Share the good news. That's good news. How would you like to be forgiven of all your sins? How would you like to have heaven as your home? How would you like to have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Never die again. Never be separate from God. All your needs met forever and have unbelievable kingdom of God at your hand. And it was free for the asking. Would you want that? Any smart, sane person would go, I want that. Amen? Those who say no, the Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. And you're just being foolish. Lord, let's change that even. Some of us were that way. It's good news. How many will put the pole in the water? Honestly. You want to see? I want to see growth, but I want it to do it by invitation. It's the only way it lasts. It's not a mass of people moving from... No, it's what makes it last. Secondly, how many have some areas that you know you need to give over to the Lord? Can this be the year for that? Amen? Thirdly, how many need to start speaking that revival in your heart? I'm in a revival. I'm not waiting for one. Some people will be swept in because of it. It's amazing to me when the light turns on, how many people come out of the woodwork. Oh, yeah, been believing God forever. You ain't prayed once. But that's all right. But no, who's going to pay the price in prayer? Honestly, who's going to come against the spiritual strongholds that are over cities and over nations? There's principalities and powers that need to be come down. Then pray for that. God will enable us. It's part of the journey. But we will see. I don't want a carnal church. We're not splashing in the water. We're going deep. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that's just deep teaching. It's more than that. In him I live and move and have my being. The whole package comes along. You enjoy this morning? Amen. God's going to do it. How many have family members that need to be saved? Keep your hand up for a moment. Okay. How about people you know work with? Go to school with, neighbors need to be saved. Okay? I got two. Amen? Our neighbors next door, we're building a great relationship with them. Amen? Took them over, helped them out, shoveled their walk. We want them to know that we care about them. Amen? With nothing in return. Lord, let us be a light. Hallelujah. Be a witness. Every area. God will do it. I speak revival to the land. Michigan's coming to Christ. Hallelujah. Michigan's coming to Christ. Our families are coming to Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, empower us. So I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Here we are, God. Lord, use us in a powerful way in these last days. Lord, flow through us, Lord God, like a river of living water flowing from our innermost being. Lord, I pray, Lord, for divine conversations with people. Lord, that you'll open up doors to share our faith in the name of Jesus. And Father, every obstacle, every rock in the way, Holy Spirit, gently help us remove that, that we can be more pure, more holy, and more usable in your kingdom. Lord, we surrender to you, Lord God. Lord, we speak back the backslider to return in the name of Jesus. Lord God, enable us, Lord God, to make an impact in society that it changes because of your power. And Lord, remind us that we truly are being changed from glory to glory, that we're already in a revival. I'm being revived by my God. Hallelujah. I haven't arrived yet, but God, I thank you. I'm not what I used to be. Lord, let your empowerment be upon your people. Lord, we surrender to you, Lord God, in every measure. Teach us to walk in your ways. Lord, let every gift of the Spirit be in full operation. In Jesus' name, amen.